And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Let's be honest, though. Has anyone ever given us negative feedback and been like, I really regret being on your show?
No, like, but deep down, we know.
Well, yeah. I mean, we do a lot of, you know, teasing ourselves, but we take pride in being slightly different from your usual, you know.
Tell us the inspiration behind your game.
Yeah, we prefer more like, so, did you do any LSD when you designed this?
You know? Okay, I'm into that. I like the idea of big jokes and farts and Bigfoot erotica. Awesome. How long does the show usually go for? Like an hour, hour and a half?
Around there, as long as you want to put up with us, really.
Okay.
It's rare for us to go under an hour.
Okay, cool.
And I'm actually really looking forward to someone calling you with a congratulations chant, because that will absolutely stay in the show.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they do that every time. Every time someone from Philly, from the Forge, or from our community ships a game, they made up this ridiculous chant that they drink to. And since I wasn't there... Well, we didn't have Dev Night last week, so this week everyone showed up, but I'm not there because I'm doing this. Sort of like, fuck it, we're going to call you. I'm like, all right, I'm sure the guys won't mind that, but I'll run it by them.
I am so looking forward to that,
yeah,
actually.
That's pretty cool.
All right, good.
All right, what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
And I'm dying of a new disease.
Still? What's your new disease?
Chest cold, I hope. Either that or something is slowly eating away at my insides.
So it's not smallpox anymore.
No, the smallpox is pretty much good to go, although I get anthrax tomorrow.
Yay, anthrax. So now you just have lung herpes.
Lung herpes, yeah. It's delicious. I recommend it for anyone who's looking to cut down on their breathing, you know.
And on that note, this is episode 124 of SML. Chris is not here with us today. He left the house a few hours ago sporting his best back pocket handkerchief as he is attending a local music award show tonight, allegedly.
Is he going to win for best busker?
He's not actually like up for anything. He's just in the scene, so he kind of has to have a presence there.
I don't understand this whole scene thing.
It's either that or he's doing heroin. One of the two.
No, I saw him over the weekend. He's got a bit more of a pot belly than last year, so I don't think heroin is really...
But instead of Chris, we have ourselves another guest calling all the way from Philadelphia. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, yeah. My name is Nick. I'm from PHL Collective, and I also have a pot belly and do heroin, so...
Sweet.
I'm happy to be...
Oh, so it is possible. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Does it just fluctuate, like, depending on your heroin use, your pot belly gets a little smaller?
Yeah. It keeps my cravings, you know, under control and helps me make games. So it's all good.
I think the bottom line here is that drugs are good for you.
See, yeah, that's actually the first time anyone on our show has said heroin helped them make games. Usually it's something like speed or marijuana or LSD.
No. Most of the time it's alcohol.
Well... For the people who work in an actual studio, apparently alcohol is what gets them through.
Yeah, the actual real non-joke answer is alcohol.
Yeah, that's true.
That is the legit answer. So, you made Clusterpuck 99.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the game. For people who don't know what it is, give us the sales pitch, if you will.
Okay, I'll give you the little pitch. Yeah, Clusterpuck 99 is an 8-player local multiplayer sports game. It's got its roots in like soccer, hockey, and pinball. It's kind of a mix between those three things. It just came out on Xbox One last week, and you can find it under the Deals with Gold banner. I think it's on sale for like $10 or something like that. And yeah, it's kind of this little indie sports game that we made. That's won some awards, and we went to IndieCade as like an esports thing. We were up for like a Philly Geek Award, and we showed it at the Smithsonian last year. So it's been around. People dig it, and we just released the latest and greatest version of it on Xbox One.
I just like the fact that the Smithsonian will actually host games now.
I was going to say Smithsonian. That sounds a bit too classy for us. Like, this isn't one of them classy, fancy games with a story and pretty graphics, is it?
I like to imagine everyone had to wear a tux and drink champagne when they checked out your game.
No, actually, like, I was thinking that same thing when this event came to us. It was the Smithsonian. I guess they're really getting, or the American art arm of the Smithsonian was really getting into games. And they're like, we're going to put on a huge event and invite local developers and just install a bunch of old, you know, retro consoles and arcade machines and just open it up free to the public. And they're doing it again this year. I think it takes place in December, like mid-December. But it's awesome, dude. There are so many people there.
That's cool as shit.
That is really cool.
It got real fucking rowdy with our game. Like, because our game usually, it evokes that kind of emotion from people. But in a museum, having people scream with our stupid punny, you know, name of a game, Clusterpuck. it was an experience. It was really cool.
Yeah, when people have been like, what the hell is this game that you're playing? The best way I've had to describe it so far is air hockey meets iDarb.
Yeah, that's we've gotten a lot of the iDarb comparisons, and that's great because iDarb's a great game. And
Although I did notice, checking out the trailer, that you have that one asshole thing for Marble Madness where you can actually fall off the map.
Yes.
I was like, as if it wasn't hard enough to corral a ball towards a goal. Now I have to worry about, you know, staying in the straight line. Son of a bitch.
Oh, wait till you see some of the stages, Pappy. Jesus.
The stage is just as much of an enemy as the other players.
Yeah, they're separated into tiers, and like the bottom most dangerous tier has a level called, I think it's called the Strip.
Plank.
Oh, plank. Where it's just like a narrow, flat area with bumpers and goals, and that's it. And trying to actually traverse across the stage is hilariously pointless because you're never going to make it.
See, that actually sounds like a lot of fun.
And I set it to a 5-on-5 game.
Oh, God.
Like, come on. First thing you do when you get a game is you got to fuck with everything, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was pretty fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, we have some pretty, with the Xbox One version, we added some pretty crazy levels. I mean, those really, really crazy ones are our Funhouse levels. And it's like, it's that borderline between, like, is it fun? Am I having a good time? Or is it just there for laughs? And I think we straddle that pretty well.
That is a tough thing to straddle, too. You know, is this game actually worth replaying?
There's
a lot of games out there that are funny, but you do it once and you're like, I'm done.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think some of our other levels are like the real meat of the game. There are competitive levels and our classic levels. But the Funhouse ones are just kind of like, we had a goofy idea and it didn't really work, but it was funny, so we put it in, you know?
Yeah, there's some pretty great stages in there. I don't want to ruin all of them, but I will say that Clippy had I lost my shit when I saw that was a stage.
that's an Xbox One exclusive. We gave them, they didn't care, they loved it. They didn't say anything. We
just
gave them
Microsoft, huh?
Yeah, we gave them Clippy, we gave them the Duke, we gave them the old like Xbox 360 logo. And we gave them, I don't know if you guys remember, but the old After Midnight screensaver with the flying toasters.
Yes.
Yeah, we gave them a flying toaster level.
So, oh, God.
They got the best and the worst of Microsoft's history.
So someday Joe will actually tell me who our guest is before 2 hours prior to the show so I can, you know, get my hands on the games. Someday.
That's overrated. I like tossing you into the fire unaware.
Yeah, Joe's like, oh, yeah, man, I played a bunch of your levels. It was pretty awesome. I'm like, ah, I watched a trailer 5 minutes before you called in.
And our trailers aren't even, like, really, they're not even, like, that great of a description.
Well, I do want to know, though, like, is there a special edition where I can get a hockey puck hat face thing?
we gave one of those, we made one specifically for our, like, really goofy, stupid, like, 90s style trailers. And people seem to really dig it. And then we actually ran a contest with IE at Xbox, where you could actually win a puck head. So there's actually a local multiplayer group out of San Diego that has their own official puck head.
That's awesome.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. People seem to dig it.
if the new Windows, the whole Windows 10 on Xbox One thing brings avatars back into the spotlight and they start selling avatar gear again, you know you need to make a Puckhead avatar.
Oh, God, item. I would love that. I would love that so much. I mean, that'd be amazing.
I haven't even thought about the avatar. Like,
yeah, remember those things, Xbox avatars? They were fun.
My avatar picture is still my login face, but yeah, now that you mention it.
Yeah, it was a really great move on their part to buy Rare and then have them not make games and then just do avatar stuff.
And Kinect, don't forget that.
Yeah, yeah. That was great.
Kinect, which has three uses, and two of them involve yelling.
Yeah.
Oh, I love yelling at my TV. It's fantastic. Yeah, in like 15 minutes, I'm going to tell it to go to NFL Network so I could watch the game while I do this podcast because I'm that invested in this.
I'd have to stream it, but I mean, it's, I don't know. It's Peyton Manning in the elder years. I'm not sure I really want to watch it anyway.
It's football.
It is. That's true. I'm just saving myself for Sunday.
So speaking of the weird ass stages in the game, I noticed the game also has a level editor.
Yes.
Yeah. Am I missing something, or is there really no way to share your creations?
No, there is no way to share your creations right now. So it is a local game. It's a local multiplayer. That's the biggest thing that people always ask us about. They're like, you know, why isn't Puck online? And it was mainly it was a two-pronged decision. It was a design thing. Our design goal was to bring back those old school local multiplayer experiences of our youth, like sitting on a couch with friends, playing Bond, punching each other, like screaming, having a beer, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was also a tech thing. You might not be able to tell just by playing the game, but Clusterpuck is actually built using Unity's 2D physics system. And doing physics calculations over the internet doesn't always lead to like the greatest experience ever. So since our game is very like, got tight controls, it's very specific, it's very fast and twitch based. We did some tests and it just wasn't a great online experience. So we said, you know what? People are going to ding us for it, but we want to make the best version of Puck we can. And that best version is an offline mode.
And see, I feel like, because I know Joe, this came up, the lack of online multiplayer, this came up with Joe in an interview last week. And I just want to say, I feel like people are so spoiled by everything having online multiplayer that you almost need a disclaimer like, hey, we don't have it, but here's why. Like, yeah. On your website, just so people stop whining about it, because you gave people what sounds like an awesome game. You know, Joe enjoyed it, and he's a relatively picky person, so.
Yeah.
I would already tell you this is the most we've talked about a game to open a show ever. By now, we're usually talking about prostitutes, so.
Yeah.
We try to tell people, but again, like, it's the internet. You can only get so far with people before they start, you know, throwing their pitchforks at you. And
yeah, like, oh, plus, I mean,
friends, like, we need online. We have no friends, blah, 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 blah. And it's kind of like,
that's your problem. You know?
Yeah.
Make friends, bitch.
Get it.
Yeah.
Now, the game wasn't made specifically for you. It was made for, you know, a lot of people.
People
so.
With friends.
Yeah.
Fucking loser.
But you're right. You know, I remember those days, being in my parents' basement playing Bomberman with my, you know, fellow high school students and stuff like that. So that is an emotion that's totally worth trying to find again. And
yeah, I think I explained it last week on the interview episode talking with Eduardo from Super Toy Cars, is that gamers are assholes. If you give them one feature but not another, they'll bitch about it. If you give them both features, they'll find something else to bitch about because gamers are assholes.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Even if you give them all the features, they'll just bitch about them not being good enough.
Yeah.
And I'll admit, you know, look at the Halo. And how many months did I spend complaining about how great it would be to actually be online instead of just sitting in a room waiting to connect?
Yeah.
Oh, that was kind of shitty with Halo. There's no beating around the bush on that one.
But still, you know, at the same time, here I have all the games. You know, I could easily just play all the games while I wait for them to fix that end, but nope.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. See, I totally understand why there's no online multiplayer with the game. Talking with Mike from iDarb and him telling us how hard it was to make it console versus console online, is enough to make me realize that big six to eight player games on Xbox probably won't have online. I'm just sad there's no way to share or download courses because I'm not creative at all. Like, I can play a game, but making something, I'm way too lazy. And all I really need to do is just go online, find somewhere that has a whole bunch of Clusterpuck levels, and download all the dick-shaped levels possible.
I was going to say, that's going to be the first thing that would have gotten put up anyway.
Yeah.
And we'd be happy with that. I mean, it's not, I'd be lying if I said we haven't made one in the past just to goof around, like, you know.
But as the creators, you know, it's frowned upon if you offer the dick level. But if, you know, community resources creates the dick level, then cool.
We're not gonna stop you.
Is level sharing something that might come in the future?
It might. I mean, it's something we're thinking about. I mean, it's funny you mentioned Mike from Other Ocean, the IDAR team. I mean, we met with those guys and we talked to them when we announced at GDC. We first announced our game at GDC with Microsoft, and the iDub guys were announcing their Xbox and Windows 10 functionality kind of stuff. And of course, there's overlap with our games, so we got to, you know, have a conversation with those guys. Got a lot of really great input and some advice. And you know, we're a 6-person team; those guys are a much bigger team. So we kind of just had to figure out what worked for us, what we could do, and sharing levels is something that we continuously talk about, but we just kind of have to see how the game does and if we decide to continue, you know, offering, you know, free support, rollouts, maps, things like that. So we're just kind of, right now, we're just kind of waiting and seeing, and we're going to fix up the Steam version so people can actually get some of the same features that Xbox has. So there's like some platform parity there.
Nice.
I do kind of like that, you know, the Xbox got the better deal. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's a bigger launch. I mean, you're going to have players more apt to have controllers, which is what Puck is best played on, not a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
But also, it was a big console release for us. We wanted to do as much as we could to make Microsoft happy, get them behind the game, and give players something that would be a little different than what they maybe have seen before, you know?
Yeah. Although I will say, all this talk is making me really want to see iDarb versus Clusterpuck.
That'd be great.
Like a way to just merge the two games. If nothing else, than to get Bob Baffy doing commentary for Clusterpuck.
Yeah. we meet him at GDC, or he might have been tweeting at us at some point, but it seemed like he dug it when he played it. But yeah, tweet it, Mike and the Other Ocean crew. We'd love for that to happen.
I wonder if Mike's available right now.
I just see a future great Twitch stream, you know.
Oh my god, I just want to have a joint podcast now. And get those get Mike back on. Mike and Bob have been on the show like 3 times now.
Oh wow,
they're some of the coolest dudes.
They don't run out of things to talk about. Like, they actually have more to talk about on our show than we do.
Yeah, they're the guys who brought up the Bigfoot erotica.
Which I'm apparently still on the hook for writing the first chapter. Sorry, I haven't gotten around to that yet.
Yeah, you dick.
Yeah, I mean, Mike's a legend.
Well, you have to understand that their idea wasn't Bigfoot erotica in the typical way. They want to write it as the female Bigfoot and several male Bigfoot hunters having an erotic experience. So, you know.
Okay.
That's, you know, just to appeal to that other demographic that is apparently underrepresented on Amazon's smut area.
Oh my god! Yeah, that's pretty crazy. But sign me up for the first pre-order.
All right, as soon as I get around to that.
What is it going
to
be, like $6 on Amazon, something like that?
I can't believe we've already discussed prices.
It's going to be Kindle only, like Kindle, digital book only.
You can only download it on your phone.
Yeah.
So you can read it on the toilet.
Because we're dumb. See, video games. This is what happens to our show.
Well, see, now I got to go and find out where people tend to read their erotica. Like, is it something that you will read on the bus?
Are you a paperback fan? Do you prefer the digital so you can read it easier, like on the go, so no one's like, oh, what the hell's that book, Bigfoot and the Big Cock? Like, oh, that doesn't look family friendly to be reading on the subway.
Hey, I mean, you can read whatever you want in public, right? I mean, you don't have to look at someone else's phone. I'd say go digital.
Nice.
Yeah, there we go. Go digital.
On the go. Like you mentioned, the toilet, you know, in the office.
In the office, at work, you know.
So there's our good first opinion on the matter.
All right, there we go. That's what I need to know.
Only like 15 episodes after the fact that we talked about it.
That was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was our quote-unquote last episode before the hiatus, our two-month break.
Yeah, it was the best 2 months of my life.
Yeah. Good times. Our co-host, who's not here, had to quit the show to like focus on personal life and everything else and work and money. And then like 2 months later, his fiance left him. And I was playing Rock Band with him. It's like, we should do the podcast again. And now we're doing it again. And now he's not here anyway.
Oh, jeez.
But now he's not here in a better place.
Yeah.
Wait, he's
not
dead?
Dead.
Yes.
No, he's just in a better place in life.
Okay.
That whole award show thing is bullshit. His body's hidden in the basement right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, an award show in Northeast PA, like, how much meth is involved?
A lot.
I mean, you gotta understand, Joe and Chris are up near Scranton, so.
Yeah, okay. One of the guys who works for me is from that area.
Nice.
Yeah, so you ask him about the plausibility of there being a rock award show.
We usually just make fun of him because you just call him like a backwoods hillbilly.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because he's not from the city. It just makes sense.
Dude, yeah. I remember I went to college in Wilkes University. That my one semester before I decided to drink my way out of college. And there was one girl from Philly there, and she – and this isn't figurative. She literally did not know the name of another town in Pennsylvania other than
less
Pittsburgh.
Pathetic. I mean, like
– well, it was just because she was like, why would I ever bother to leave Philly? And I'm like, well, yeah, but I'm from Berwick where I had to learn the rest of the state to stay entertained, you know? Yeah. Oh, it's a 3-day weekend. I'm a high school senior. I'm going to drive 3 hours in some direction.
Eh, you could have gone to Kmart.
Yeah, the nearest the happening place in my hometown was 30-minute drive away to the 24-hour Denny's.
Ew. You drive all the time to get diarrhea?
Yeah, that was the only place that was open late where you could be under 21.
Well, that and Walmart.
Walmart, yeah. And trust me, the number of teenagers walking around Walmart during the summer at night, it was a little ridiculous. It was literally, hey, it's 2 a.m. and I'm bored. You're sober. You want to drive to Walmart? Sure.
This show is just depressing me now.
Life. Yeah, now here I am in Vegas where I just don't go out. I'm overwhelmed by all the options and they scare me.
Order delivery prostitutes.
Yeah, Grubhub and then Prostitute Hub. Those are my two places.
Are you in the main part of Vegas, like the strip part?
Well, I'm in Henderson, which is Henderson and Vegas kind of just meet and coincide. I'm 15 minutes from the strip.
Okay, man, that's crazy. I mean, I've been to Vegas a couple of times, but couldn't imagine. Like, I guess I'd be overwhelmed too because I'm like, where do I want to go? Tonight?
There's a water park across the street, literally across the street from where I live.
Fantastic and depressing at the same time.
Yeah. I had a coworker approach me today. I might be getting a free ticket to go see OAR tomorrow, and as long as I agree to DD. Like, this is the life of Vegas.
I hope any drug tests coming up.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't know who OAR are.
They're like,
I was told they're like Dave Matthews meets Skater Punk, and I was like, how many hippies are we going to run into?
All of them.
Yeah. Every hippie in Vegas will be there tomorrow.
The second you mentioned Dave Matthews, I'm out.
I'll be honest. If someone's like, hey, I will give you the ticket if you just drive so I can have a few beers, I don't really give a shit who we're going to see. I will enjoy part of it. I'll enjoy enough of it to justify the cost of gas.
Okay. That's fair. But still, Dave Matthews.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, people watching. That's the number one thing to do in Vegas.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
We got Fremont Street is it's the locals' place. You know, it's where it's just off Vegas. It's like old Vegas, basically. And you go there, man, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, I think the people. You said you've been to the Strip, so you know all the people dressed up as different characters and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, selling pictures. you know, there you get like Hello Kitty, the Transformers, and Elvis. You go to Fremont Street, you get a dude with a pot belly wearing a thong and Cupid wings. You have women who are literally just wearing a pair of shorts.
Okay.
And they just painted something over their breasts. Like it's the most hedonistic area of Vegas. It's just there for people to get drunk, try and get laid, and maybe not lose all their money.
Oh God. I can't remember what it's called, but I probably had the best time in Vegas when I was at this place. It was like a hole in the wall casino. I wouldn't even call it a casino. I want to
say, was it on the main strip?
It was on the strip. There was like a Subway to Burger King inside. You could play beer pong and play war, and it was a total dump.
Might have been Casino Royale.
I don't know. That was like Wild Bill's or like Uncle Bill's or something.
Could have been, yeah. Because there's some Casino Royale is this tiny little casino in the middle of all of the towers, and they've been around for so long, and the guy makes more money staying open than he does if he were to sell the land, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, their whole thing is $1 beers. Like you just go in there. Hey, there's only like 5 tables and like 50 machines, but $1 beers.
Yeah, there was no machines. It was just table games, and there was beer pong tables. And the craziest thing was like you could play war, right? You could play war for and sit down at a table and play war. Where my friend actually ended up winning like I think $2,000 playing war, and I was like, that's ludicrous. Like I'm leaving. This is not. It's not fair.
Yeah, we can turn anything in this town into a gamble.
Well, yeah, Vegas bets on fucking wrestling.
Yeah,
right, which is predetermined.
Yeah.
So we have some breaking news. We have a Mike Micah update. I hit him up on Twitter and I asked if he was free and wanted to join the show. He says he wishes he could, but he's about to get on an airplane. He says hello to you, Nick, and that they have cluster puck reps in the iDarb update.
Nice. Yeah, I remember they said they wanted to put the ad in the game.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's sweet.
And then I told him to have a good flight, and we were talking about iDarb versus cluster puck, and he says, I'm in on that. So we could create a game with this stupid little podcast.
That's awesome.
So I think we have a match going on.
Oh, that's great.
We gotta figure it out now.
We made a hookup on the show. Now to figure out what the hell that game. It's going to be a puzzle game. Like Sudoku or something.
No. Let's just make it an FPS.
And just to confuse everyone.
We can do that. Clusterfuck FPS. Well, I mean, look, if you imagine, right? There's got to be, like in the trailer, there's a guy with a puck head. There's got to be little dudes underneath those puck heads running around, right? Use your imagination.
Yeah.
We have time. We will brainstorm a successful game.
You could do like Capcom and Namco do and take two properties, JRPG.
Okay.
But all voice work must be done by Bob Baffy.
All of it.
Just every single voice in the game, male, female, whatever.
And he can't use different voices, just his default voice is the voice for every character in the game.
How you doing? I'm April.
Oh, that's nice. I'm Bob. How you doing, Bob? I'm doing good. How are you?
It's too funny.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with us?
What other games has your team worked on since I came in here knowing nothing?
Let's see. What have we done? We did our first project to kind of, like, figure out who we were and, like, our pipelines, like our art and production pipelines, was a little mobile game called Night Strike. It did okay. We just made it and put it out there. We really didn't do anything to support it. It ended up getting like 500,000 downloads. So we were happy about that.
Nice.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah.
We did a Kinect game, like a Kinect prototype game, like a little game jam game that won an award in Philly for just being a ridiculous, nonsensical thing. It's called Noodle Arm Royale. It's basically a slap fighting game where you play as like old timey gentlemen with monocles and top hats fighting on top of a speeding train, but they have long noodly arms and they slap each other.
Is this something that could see a release? Because I already want to pre-order it.
Yeah, that sounds like...
Sounds
like a great game to introduce to marriage counseling.
we did it for Kinect version, like the 360 version of Kinect V1. We did it for that. And we put it out there for people to download just to have a good time with. We took it to PAX East, and people seemed to be, you know, laughing and loving it. So we actually, and you guys are probably the first people to hear this, we were trying to make it into like a full game, but we knew that the concept itself couldn't support like a full release, you know, like a full title. What we did was we teamed up with a bunch of other studios from around the world who had really cool and unique Kinect games, just like ours. And we were going to make a big Kinect party game that was going to be like kind of an anthology of all these little games together that you and your friends could get together and play. Kind of like what Sports Friends was for PS4, right?
Nice.
So we worked on that for a good part of this year, and actually had to cancel the game. I don't know.
Oh,
last month.
No.
Yeah, it was a bummer, but looking at the Kinect landscape,
the barren wasteland.
Yeah. Yeah. The scorched earth that is Kinect. We decided that, it was probably in everyone's best interest to kind of let the title die.
Oh, man.
Well, who knows? I mean, there's some Kinect support games coming out lately. Maybe they'll try and reinvigorate it so you can look into it in another year or two.
I mean, we could try. The whole point of this game was like our attempt to try to make Kinect cool, because there weren't any indies using Kinect. And we thought like we had a unique enough idea that we could do it. And we were planning to do like a crazy blowout party and like live action menus and like just this whole kind of crazy party atmosphere and build it into a game. And it just for whatever reason, it didn't work, but we actually own the website connect.party, and, we might end up putting like a postmortem or maybe some playable stuff or some downloadable code or something like that on the website. We're still trying to figure that out. To kind of let the world know that it did exist at one point, and we did have some pretty cool ideas and some unique games, but you have to kind of tread lightly and see, or tread carefully and see what we can put out there without, you know, pissing off Microsoft, you know?
Yeah, that's always a good call.
Is there any thought
does sound like fun.
Is there any way to take that Noodle Arm game and make it like an Easter egg hidden feature in another game?
We thought about putting it in a clusterfuck at one point. We're like, let's just slip it in somewhere. But
like, if there's a tie at the end of regulation.
Yeah. But it's pretty hard just to slip something in, especially when games go through certification. Because if Microsoft catches it and they're like, hey, what the hell is this? That's going to cause issues, especially if you're like, if you're saying, oh yeah, our game's just local multiplayer and it doesn't use Kinect, and then you slip in a Kinect game. They're going to be like, guys, what the fuck? Really? Come on.
Well, you could always add voice commands to like the main menu and then say it supports Kinect.
There you go. Yeah, we can do that.
I'm still waiting for the Xbox let me win voice command in a game.
Like the easy button?
Yeah.
Jeez. I basically just need to pay somebody to come over here and play games for me.
That's America right there.
Like, I am terrible.
Dude, find a prostitute who's good at video games.
Yeah, when they talk about, you know, or why do people watch Twitch? Why do people watch speedruns? I do it to watch people who have put in the time and effort and or have the skill to beat games that I am terrible at. So I can at least enjoy the
story.
Which
is all of them for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not get into the number of times I die. I've successfully put 40 minutes into Final Fantasy Tactics in my life, and I died 4 times in the opening introduction fight.
Yeah, in the tutorial fight.
Yeah, the tutorial. Hey, here's the easiest part of the game so you can learn how to play, and I never got past it.
That is talent.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
I'm very good at video games.
So, Chris had a legit question about the game. He was watching me play it quite a bit, and he kept getting lost on which puck I was in the game. And I was like, it's the one with my name over top of it. And he's wondering if there's any plans to, like, add further customization to your pucks to make them easy to differentiate.
That was actually a really good piece of feedback. We got it at an event we were at once. Somebody had the same issue. Like, who am I? Where am I? I don't get it. and you know, their name and their little player icon wasn't enough for them to like understand. But once we heard that, we started asking other players. I'm like, do you have the same problem? And we did some play tests and stuff. And it was literally split 50-50. It was like some people were like, oh yeah, it's easy. Like I know who I am. It's like it's my name and I can read. You know, I'm not an idiot. Other people were like,
I don't know.
Yeah, I get lost. I don't know. I mean, which is understandable in larger games when you have a lot of people playing. But
yeah, when it's fast paced, you're gonna lose sight of yourself at some
point. But we polled a bunch of players and everyone said yes, we have the issue, or no, we don't. But no one had a solution or a suggestion about how to fix that. You know, everyone was like, change the color of the name or change this or that, but none of those things were actual like fixes that would help solve the issue. They were just like random suggestions.
Yeah.
And we've heard that before, but we just haven't come up with a solution. Which
yeah, because you couldn't exactly be like, okay, well, you can pick your own puck color to keep in. Then you could forget what the hell team you're on. You know,
right.
It's red versus blue, and you're purple. Like, well, I that stand out. I know which puck I am.
You're a traitor, and you're playing for both teams.
Like one thing we did do, and if you look at the controls menu in the game, if you click down on the left stick, you can actually ping yourself. You can locate your player.
Nice.
We added that kind of like visual thing in that maybe would help people if, you know, let's say they can't read their name or they get lost for whatever reason. If you click that left stick, you're going to glow. You're going to emit, you know, a little bit of a glow. So you can, you know, automatically just kind of like readjust your eyes and be like, oh yeah, I'm over here, you know?
I'd say, honestly, that's pretty good enough, you know?
Now, Chris is picky, like though. He's like, I can't see.
It's yeah, but just... you have a sonar ping. That's kind of fun by itself.
Yeah.
And then,
maybe something like the icon that you could pick in the menus, like have that on your puck.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's something he's thinking.
Well, no,
of.
That is on the top of your puck. Are you talking about like when you create your character, there's like the butt and the pizza and all that other stuff? Like,
yeah, I have the cat.
Yeah, that icon is actually on the top of your player model.
Huh. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
He was too busy looking at his name to notice his puck.
No, I was too busy falling off the side of the stage.
There you go. Okay, I understand.
And running into spikes.
I can see my future when I come to visit Joe in 2 weeks.
Yes. Oh, man, when you visit in 2 weeks, we should make a road trip to Philly.
Yeah, yo, speaking about falling off the side of the stage, I encountered a burgeoning psychopath last weekend at Mag Classic.
Do tell.
You know, We were experimenting with keeping Rock Island. They started this thing this year where they were like, okay, let's see if we just sell the merch for the bands that are performing. So they have more free time. They don't have to worry about their tables, you know, all that stuff. So we had six acts that said, sure, let's try that. But we tried to stay open 24 hours just to see if it was justified. So I worked 6 a.m. to noon. And when you're at a convention at 6 a.m., it's just you and the drunks.
Yeah.
There's no getting around it. It's the people who still haven't gone to bed yet. And I don't want to say the weirdos in like a negative, but just, you know, the people who are just, for whatever reason, oh, I want to be down there when it's all empty and quiet.
Yeah.
And so there was this teenager. Unfortunately, my table faced the men's room, the women's room, and the X-Men 4-player machine. Those were the three things I got
to
look at. Yes, so, you know, the Colossus were over God and over. But this kid just kept, for about an hour from like 7 to 8 in the morning on Saturday, he would walk over to the machine, do all four characters' specials, and then repeatedly walk them off the edge. That one, you know, level 2 or whatever.
Oh, God.
Just walk them off the edge, kill them. So you just heard, ah, ah, ah. And then he'd do a circuit of the room and come back about 5 minutes later. Do the same thing and just repeatedly murder all four characters, and then he did that for an hour. I'm just like, this kid is going to grow up to hide bodies in a basement.
He probably already is.
Well, he looks like 13, 14, so I'm hoping that his parents would.
Early starter, you never know.
He's a fast burner. Magfest is great, but it's weird.
Yeah, this was according to a friend who kept better count than I have. I've been going since 6.
Oh wow! Yeah,
and,
this year was our first one. The one, you know, the big one at the, I guess the main one at the Gaylord.
Yeah,
yeah. They call it. All right, so I used to be married to a member of the board or whatever, the people who run it, and so I pick up the lingo. They call it Prime now because they have all these little events. So, yeah, Prime this in February is looking to just be ridiculous. Definitely let us know if you're going to be there. Hopefully both of us will be there.
Yeah, I'm heartbroken because Mag Classic was the first ever MagFest event that I missed.
Oh, okay.
It's been going since 1.
Yeah, and I was supposed to work the midnight to 6 a.m. shift at Rock Island, but I was in the ER the morning that we were supposed to leave because... Yeah.
We didn't miss that. We shut down at 2 both nights.
Nice. So,
but yeah, this was my first year, despite having been married to somebody who worked the event for years, I never wanted to volunteer. But now it's like I've done so much stuff. I've really seen everything. I'll volunteer. I'll help out because this was Chris's baby, the missing man on our show.
Yeah, handkerchief guy.
Yeah, so I was like, I will help you succeed because, you know, I've been around it enough. I've talked to a lot of the people who do this. You know, I know a lot of what's going on. And I've done enough volunteer work throughout my military career that I think I'm pretty competent at putting together a table and then selling shit.
Allegedly.
And so I had fun from that, and I got to talk to some people. I got a lot of fun ideas because now I'm finally like, cool, this is the first time I ever staffed. So now all of the shit that's driven me nuts over the last 7 years, I feel comfortable saying, you know, when they start polling people for what did we do, what could we do better, I'm like, I will have a fucking book. I will have an interactive PowerPoint for you guys. This is going to be great.
Yeah, we just got word that the indie dev submissions, I think, start in October. And, I mean, we'll be submitting a new game to go back there. But we just, like, sat down and reminisced about MagFest. I mean, it was our first time. It was the first time for everyone.
And, you're coming in where it's huge.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
Joe's first time, there was, what, 200 people? My first time, there were 1,200 people.
Yeah.
No, 800 people. Yeah, I think 6 was 800 people.
Wow. Yeah, it's been crazy to see it grow from what it was to what it is now, where there's, what, like 12,000 people? Oh, 17,000.
Yeah, 17,000 passes sold.
So fun. It was so great. We had a blast.
And you're close enough. I recommend, honestly, even if you don't have a table, just fucking go down.
Yeah. As we were talking about, we might just do that. If we don't get in for, you know, the game we're submitting, we just might go down and have a good time.
I will tell you, the Gaylord has already been sold out, so it's only satellite hotels now. It's sold out in 20 hours.
Yeah. Last year we stayed, I guess, across the street at that other hotel on the other side of the parking garage.
The Hilton, right?
Hilton or Radisson, I don't even know. It was one of those things. Yeah, we had a room there, and we just would literally walk across the street, show our game, and then hang out at the Gaylord with a backpack full of beer and
go. That's MagFest. It's just a phenomenal idea. It's so cool that all these guys get to show off their stuff.
Yeah, I was excited that they had something like that. I checked out a bunch of different games. I'm pretty sure I checked out Clusterpuck, but there were so many. I don't even remember. Like, I barely remember last week's episode.
There. Yeah, there was a lot. There's a lot.
I'll be honest, I didn't even make it into the indie showcase last year, or this, you know, this last one. I guess it's part of it being lazy and part of it being old hat. You know, I'm like, I know what I want to do.
Goddamn kids, get off my lawn.
I
was in there hanging out with the Pixel Noir guys quite a bit. I'm not sure if you saw their booth at all.
I don't know. I don't remember. Where were they?
Shameless plug, their Kickstarter is live, and they're already at 30% after 24 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So instead of going for like 76,000 or whatever it was last time, they're trying for 30 grand, and if they didn't already, they're hovering around the 10 grand mark. So I'm pulling for them.
Yeah, because it was one of those where an indie developer kind of discovered the pitfalls of Kickstarter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They launched the Kickstarter before really pushing the name. So they fell short, but they weren't, I give them credit, they weren't discouraged. They went, okay, well, let's just keep working on the game and make a more polished product and still push it. You know, they tried to stay, they kept their Twitter live, you know, they would throw out stuff once in a while just to kind of keep interest building. So now I think it's paying off, and I have a feeling their Kickstarter will be successful.
I think so. They were already featured on Kickstarter, so that's pretty cool for them.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
and Joe Cam will be a character in the game.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm all a right. sausage vendor. Yeah, I'm a pretty big deal in the world.
Want to put a sausage in your mouth?
I sell sausage and I host this shitty podcast. So I'm a pretty big deal in life.
Living life. Living it.
Living large. Living large.
Yeah, that's
my wife just rolled her eyes like, did you really say that? Are you kidding me?
Put the L in the SML podcast, Joe.
I do. Yeah, our show started off as the small, medium, large podcast. I am large. And after 20 episodes, that changed to the Someone Might Listen podcast.
Very high on ourselves.
Yes.
Hey, you got Mike responding to your tweets, so you guys are a big deal.
Yeah, Mike has been a huge supporter of SML, and when that iDarb update hits, as long as he still kept the file, you might see the SML logo in the game, would be amazing for me.
Oh, and while we're actually pimping the podcast on the podcast, I will be setting up, now that we've done 124 episodes and we're pretty confident that we'll keep doing this, I will be setting up the SML Twitter tomorrow.
Allegedly.
As this goes live. Allegedly. If I'm not at the OAR concert trying to avoid hippies.
It's like half of everything you tweet is just going to be like retweets of me because I just post everything on my Twitter.
I'm going to give you access to it so you can tweet when I'm at work.
Yeah, that involves logging out of my own Twitter.
I think you can log into both and then just select what you tweet on.
Yeah.
A lot of inside baseball, you guys. This is behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. discussing who is going to tweet.
Yeah, this is some real interesting, backstage banter.
Well, what it is,
you get
the
inside look at our show.
Unlike my co-host, I really believe that this is a good show. And, I verbally believe that this is a good show. I think deep down Joe does love what he does. He'll never show it.
I love doing this show, but, you know, for every episode we have that breaks 100 views on YouTube, there's something that gets like 8 and nobody cares.
Well, those 8 people care.
I'm sure 3 of them are me, just making sure.
We get the word out. We're going to get more people casually checking in, and you know that 1%. You need that 1% of people who like it.
Yep.
So if you reach 1,000 people, you should get 100 regulars. But if you reach 10,000 people, now you can get 1,000 regulars.
Dude, if I didn't believe in this show, I wouldn't still be doing it after 2.5 years and continually getting new developers to talk about their games on our show.
So. Come MAGFest, this show might have been around longer than my marriage.
Yeah.
There's my self-deprecating humor.
Just dead silence on this end.
Yeah.
That's all we need. Just awkward
silence. I've got a good
sense
of humor about it. I just call it practice.
Yeah. Well, the show already outlived your first marriage, so.
Dude, episode 7 outlived my first marriage. Never get married to somebody when you come back after a 2-year overseas assignment and just marry the first person you sleep with. That's a terrible idea.
Or how about never get married to someone when all of your friends and family say, dude, what are you doing? Don't get married after knowing her for a month.
But my penis, it was so happy.
It was so happy for both weeks.
For both weeks.
So, video games.
Yeah. Video games are cool, right?
I'm waiting for Pappy to ask the question he likes
asking
developers.
Yeah, the question. So, when you are taking a break from your game, what games do you like to play?
Shit.
We put him on the spot with a question.
Yeah. No, it's not a hard question because there's a game that I played and a bunch of games that I want to play, and I guess I'll tell you those things. But sometimes it's tough when you're making a game to make a game all day and then go home and like sit down and play something. You know, sometimes the last thing you want to do is like.
And that's actually the first answer we've gotten. A lot of the developers are like, oh yeah, I totally want to chill out with something else. There's nothing wrong with getting on Hulu instead.
Yeah, no, like believe me, TV is like an escape nowadays. Like it just you sit down and just like turn off and zone out. But I played the sequel to my favorite game ever. I finally got around to playing Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Nice.
On the 3DS.
Very good.
Fantastic game. And I have, let's see, I have to catch up on Arkham Knight. I have to catch up on
Batman in a tank.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard all the pitfalls about the Batmobile, but I'm still going to go for it. I'm going to go for it.
I had a coworker 100% that game, so it's apparently a very good game if you're into that style.
the previous games are fantastic. I mean, Arkham City, Arkham Asylum, great game.
They look gorgeous too, but again, man, it's a game that requires patience and a certain amount of stealth, so I'm out.
No. Let's see. I got Metal Gear 5 that I want to play. I'll probably pick that up next week.
You looking forward to attaching balloons to donkeys?
I'm gonna Fulton everything. Just nice. Gonna send everything up in a
balloon.
That's
the only way to play that game, Fulton everything.
Yeah. I had a buddy talking about how he was waiting for a helicopter, so he tranked a bear and Fulton did. And he said as it was going up, it kind of started, it was like groggy, so it was like waving one arm as it was just going up and up and up.
There's a couple people in the office right now playing that game, and it's all they talk about, and I'm like, shut up. Like, don't ruin it for me. Like, I want to play.
Shut your whore mouth.
Yeah, it's just like, guys, leave me alone and shut up. Don't tell me anything about Metal Gear.
It still doesn't beat the guy 2 weeks ago who relaxes with Dark Souls 2.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's brutal. What? Wait, what?
Yeah,
really?
That's how they relaxed. And then someone last week relaxed with Bloodborne. It's like, how do you relax to this shit?
That's hardcore.
Like, that's...
It's like, I feel that I must punish myself for not working hard enough today.
Sadists.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know how anyone can just be like, oh, man, it's been a rough day. I am so stressed. It's time to die a lot in a video game.
Yeah, I'm real stressed. Today was tough. I'm going to hit myself in the face with a hammer for an hour.
That's the real life equivalent. Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty much.
What else? And there's also, I was a year one Destiny player. I stopped, and I think I hit level 28. And
you got me beat by 26 levels.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, I'm not getting back into that game. They.
We got into the beta, and I enjoyed the beta, and then so I bought the game. It came out, and I did not enjoy myself. I don't know what happened.
It was a grind. It was repetitive. I quit for. I mean, I was playing with people like on a constant, like on a regular basis, which is why we got to such high levels. But eventually, we quit. We moved on to other things. But it's Taken King. Soft relaunch of the game, which kind of fixes everything, has me pretty excited about maybe jumping back into it.
Yeah, I might give it
really
a try.
I don't know if I want to give it another chance or not.
If they take the grind out and leave the beauty of the game and all of the gameplay, I might be interested again.
Apparently, everything's fixed. Like,
that was what turned me off. It's like, well, if you really want to get this item, you have to go back and replay that level one area 17 times. Like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I already play Diablo. I don't need two games like that.
Yeah. I just wonder how much content they're going to withhold from everyone to spend more money. Because that was the worst part in my eyes about Destiny is how they screwed over players. Like, even Xbox players compared to PlayStation, like, we lost out on what? Like, a quarter of the game? Something stupid like that?
I think Destiny's got a bigger following on the PS4.
Well, I mean, Sony paid out the nose for some of that exclusive content, so, they were...
You can't fault the gamers for going where the best bang for your buck is.
I mean, yeah, it happens. But there's still plenty of content in the Xbox version. I mean, again, it was grindy, it was repetitive, but I feel like from what I've seen of the Taken King, they've pretty much fixed everything, and, like, this version is, like, the version they initially set out to release. You know, this was like, hey, guys, we kind of screwed up, but... This is like the real version of Destiny. It sucks. We're asking you to double dip. It's going to cost you another $40 or $50, but here's the real game. And I think they kind of got me with that. I don't know.
Well, I hope you enjoy it, especially if you drop that extra $40 on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we'll I have that. The game still sitting on my shelf, so maybe I'll pop it in and give it a go, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe that's why I prefer... I think Diablo is the only game I can really play grindcore at, is because you can... Sure, you have to do things repetitively, but I only play with Joe and Chris online, and it's really easy to find a stopping point. With Destiny, you really had to kind of finish that level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All seven hours of a single level.
With Diablo, hey, man, I'm going to play one more Rift. 3 minutes later, all right, guys.
I have to fly through this loading screen back to our home base.
God, that loading screen. That's almost as bad as the elevator in Mass Effect.
Oh, I haven't heard that one in a while.
What are your thoughts on Dinklebot going away?
I didn't hate him. I thought it was okay. I don't know what the big uproar was all about. Like,
I don't know. Yeah, people complained, oh, he sounded bored. It was obvious that he was in it for the money. And I'm like, well, first of all, I'm sure he was in it for the money.
But like, he doesn't just go in and rogue and just start reading lines. And then Bungie goes, well, you recorded them. I guess we have to put him in. Like, he was directed to read them that way, right?
Yeah.
Like, he read them. They were approved. They were put in the game. But the other thing is, like, he's a robot. Like, is he supposed to have emotion? I don't know. But I don't maybe I'm thinking too much about it, but I didn't hate it. I didn't freak out like half the internet did.
I think what you're doing is approaching it from a reasonable point of view, which disqualifies you from commenting about it online.
Yeah. Just not allowed.
Yeah. I can understand. Here's what I can't understand. If they wanted to replace him because he's too expensive to move forward with all they want to do with this game, that's understandable. But to just wipe him from the game because, like, half the community didn't really understand or like him. For Nolan North, I mean, who's a good voice actor, but is literally
Nolan
North.
Like, yeah. Honestly, I think it would have been nice if they had just been like, you know what? Okay, yeah, you hate this. Fuck you. Fran Drescher's going to record everything.
Oh my God! Don't you just dare say that shit.
Yeah. Make sure you're careful in the cavern.
I don't think they scrubbed him from the game because people didn't like it. I think it was just to have consistency among the ghost's voice through all of the content.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, you could have just blown him up. I mean, that's a viable option, right? At some point, he just explodes and you replace him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, that's a thing.
And honestly, that's always more fun.
Explosions.
Add a little story there. Oh, my ghost exploded. What do I do now?
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, Nolan North is like, okay, I guess. But I would maybe have gone for someone who is a little bit more interesting and not in everything. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, it's in everything thing. At some point, everyone reaches a certain saturation point, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Troy Baker.
Yeah. But look, I mean, I don't really want to crap on either of them because they're so insanely talented. Like, I love Uncharted, and The Last of Us is like my favorite game ever. But yeah, you get to a point where you're like, oh, hey, who's in this game? And it's the same two people every time.
Yeah, you know? And I'm a big fan of anime, and they have that same problem with their voice actors, to where, you know, you no matter how good they are at disguising their voice, at some point you just realize that the same dude is voicing 47 different characters.
Yep, that's Johnny Yong Bosch for the 40th time this episode.
Yeah, I think it's just a voice thing. Like, we do not have enough voice actors in the medium in America. But from what I understand, it's actually a very cliquish group. Like, it is straight up hard to break in. They will judge you. They will stop you because the pay's not that great, so you have to do a bunch.
Yeah.
Did you see that documentary that was on Netflix? It was, I think it was called I Think I Know That Voice, or I Recognize That Voice.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It was a documentary about I added it to my queue. I haven't watched it yet. It was like And Now Playing or something like that.
Something. Like John DiMaggio was in it talking about Futurama.
Yeah.
And everything else that he does. But yeah, you're right. Like, I watched a documentary, and apparently it's a very small crowd that does everything. And
and that's why I had to – there's a guy that I was lucky enough to meet at MAGFest a couple years ago, Matthew Mercer. He's actually broken into it, but he was trying for years and years before he kind of got in, you know. And now he's doing some pretty cool voice work for video games and anime, you know, dubbing. But, yeah, it just – you have to basically have really thick skin and be willing to bust your ass just to get into it so that you can then get paid, like, the bottom end of the Actors Guild money.
Yeah. Be stepped on by Billy West all day.
And then, God forbid, we do a movie, you know, oh, we're doing a big kids movie, so we're not going to hire any of these professional voice actors. We're going to get, you know, Queen Latifah and fucking, you know, all the recognizable visual actors.
Yeah. They have a face for radio.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's me.
It's like, yeah, cool. Yeah, Tim Allen is Buzz Lightyear. That's cool. But at the same time, I still say there were more talented people to do a voice than Tim Allen. They did that because the parents, oh, I know Tim Allen. I'm going to take my kid there.
Well, Home Improvement was pretty big at the time.
Everyone loves Home Improvement. That was a great show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You find out about the amount of cocaine that he did as a human being.
And then you love it even more.
Yeah.
James He's Muggs still guy. Alive?
It's although now I'm old enough And thanks to the internet, it's like, oh, hey, another comedian admitted to doing drugs. And?
Yeah. So what, the sun rose and set today?
That's heresy. How dare you?
You show me a straight-edge comedian that's funny, and then I'll be surprised.
Well, there was this one guy.
Well, I guess there's this this one thing where they do stand-up, and they do their stand-up routine, and then they go and either get drunk or high, and then go up on stage and do it again. Like, it's a thing in L.A. And I guess there are a couple of people who, like, never drink or never smoke, and they are apparently ridiculous. Like, they're funny from a train wreck point of view when they get back up on to do their second set.
Oh, God. I can imagine it's pretty rough.
Yeah, but then there's the other ones where they're boring as shit when they do it sober, because they don't ever do it sober. And then they go and get their six, you know, Mai Tais in and come back up on stage and kill it.
Jeez. Interesting experiment.
Yeah. I like it when people fuck with themselves for my amusement.
Oh, whatever gets you off, Pappy.
Well, it's still better than playing Dark Souls to relax.
True.
Yes.
That's like hiring someone to come and step on your balls in high heels.
Yeah, at least you're not a sociopath.
I'm going to get that X. God, I wish I could petition them to remove the X-Men arcade game. It broke. It broke on Saturday, though.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it broke Saturday around lunchtime.
Man.
Wistful silence.
I love that. I played the crap out of that game when I was a kid.
But you missed, by this being your first MAGFest, you missed where the Colossus Roar was just the thing for about, what, 4 years?
I remember seeing
only
signs.
Only four? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the signs, please don't roar.
The signs around MAGFest with Colossus on them. Yeah, I remember.
That shit has legit been going on for like 7 or 8 years.
Oh, God, no. One more funny story from the weekend. A friend flew in, and she caught the red eye. And she saw a guy get on the plane, sit down two seats from her, and she just knew. You know, sometimes you know where people were heading. She's like, hey, what are you going to D.C. for? And he's like, convention. She's like, oh, yeah, no, which one? He's like, MAGFest. She's like, cool, me too. And they chatted. They get off the plane, and they're waiting for a taxi in Reagan. And she's like, so what do you think the odds are that some of the other people waiting for taxis are going to the same place? And the poor girl, the dude just turns and roars right in her ear. Like, and I saw her reenacting it. He's like, the eye roll. I'm like, yeah, that's probably exactly what you did, you know, when you did that.
What a creep.
That's sad.
But that's just heartbreaking. That's which is kind of funny, though, because at the same time, that is how you could honestly identify someone who's been to MAGFest. If you go to PAX, do the Colossus Roar. If someone does it back, they've gone to MAGFest.
I think we need to switch to Dazzler. What was Dazzler's thing? She just shot sparks out of her hands. She didn't make any sound, but
I think they tried getting the Nightcrawler to work a couple of years ago, but it just fizzled out. Of people just going
zips back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't project. It's hard to get 100 people's attention by going.
That was the point they were trying to make.
I know, but that's why.
How about the blob? What is this? Nothing destroys or nothing can hurt the blob. Just yell that over and over.
Just welcome to die.
Yeah, welcome to die.
Or master of magnet.
Just one magnet.
Yeah.
Here it is. It sits in my bedroom. Yeah, this is the magnet I master of.
Oh, man. That roar haunted my nightmares for years.
Well, I will say, though, it was nice. I didn't hear the pizza chant this weekend, and I didn't hear you immediately be like, God fucking damn it!
What's the pizza chant?
A couple of our friends, there's this weird, silly YouTube video where they mess with, what was it, Tostitos pizza?
Bagel bites.
Yeah, so at one point, it's just like 20 seconds of pizza! You know, like one of those silly viral YouTube videos.
Uh-huh.
A couple of our friends caught on to it, and it was big for a little while, and it kind of petered off, but they still do it once in a while. But Joe over there just despises
it. In the first half hour of them doing it, I'm like, this needs to end now. Like, I'm going to lose my mind if you keep doing this shit. Like, okay, 4 years later, they're still doing that shit.
Here's a MAGFest question for you guys, since you're vets. So, since this year was our first year, we were kind of just engrossed in... We immersed ourselves in the entire thing.
All right.
We we set a company goal to take as many selfies or group pictures as we could with furries.
Nice.
Which is actually the hardest thing to do because they're a very they're a very small minority. At the
convention. Oh no! This past year there were so many more than
usual.
Whole place
is full of them this year.
Still a minority.
Yeah. All
they're
right.
Growing. Well, they're growing.
We got
well,
about.
Honestly, any convention where furries are not shunned, they will show up at. Okay. And we're very, you know, it's a very open, like all it's yeah. It's all inclusive, you know.
Like I don't get it, but I think it's hilarious and awesome. You know, that's cool. But we got about 16, I think, group photos with the furries, and we wanted to understand it, but no one was really kind of no one really wanted to give us the lowdown on the furry culture, and we didn't want to hit the internet. We wanted to ask like someone who was in a suit, but no one was really forthcoming with like the information about hows, the whys, you know.
Well, a lot of the problem is you're catching them in their suit, so they're in that persona, and they don't really want to bring themselves out of it by talking about why they do it.
Gotcha, okay. All right. Yeah, see, we don't know. We were curious. We're like, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's play, you know, fairy detective. But we didn't
I guarantee you, one of our mutual friend Charles, even though he's not one, he can probably tell you everything about them.
Yeah.
Because he's a... We have a friend who's pretty much like the... one of the high ranking, I don't know if there's ranks at all, but one of the high ranking members of the BDSM community on the East Coast.
Okay.
And he's a wonderful, wonderful person, but he has more knowledge about, like, he actually used the word fucksaw in a casual conversation.
Wait, what?
An actual fucksaw.
Yeah,
you can build a fucksaw.
It's like a sawzall, but instead of a blade, it's
a
dick.
So this is a man who has immersed himself in the world of fetishes.
Gotcha. All right. So,
and I admire that. You know, I'm like you. I always wonder why people gravitate to those things. And I've learned enough about furries. I've actually met a few. I know a few in real life, and even I've worked with some here and there before in the military, believe it or not.
Really?
And generally, they're just great people, and they're just normal people on the outside. And for whatever reason, most of them, it's a persona. It's just I really feel more comfortable. Like some people straight up say, I feel more comfortable when people can't see me.
Okay.
And I get to be who I feel like I am on the inside. And so a lot of them tend to go more to the goofier or cuter costumes, you know, for attention.
Mm-hmm.
And others are just, you know, I really feel like deep down I would have preferred being an animal. There are some of those. It's actually a very small number of them that do it for any sexual reasons.
See, that's the only thing we really knew about them. I guess we knew like what the internet put out there, or
it's the internet, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But we really wanted to look like legitimately understand, you know, what the deal was, and we just we didn't get anywhere. But I guess like you said, I think it was probably the wrong venue to like ask those questions.
Yeah, you would honestly would need to have caught them out of their costume and wanted to have a chat with them or something. Because once they're in costume, they, you know, they're not interested in telling you why. They're interested in doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
I'll just be over here hanging out. You guys can...
What you need to do, though, is take your pictures with as many impersonators as possible, because that was another weird minority I noticed.
Impersonators?
The best thing I've ever seen yet was coming down the escalator 2 years ago, and there was an 80s Michael Jackson having a dance off with 90s Michael Jackson.
Wow.
In the hallway, like there was like 100, 200 people making a big old circle. There was, of course, you know, Michael Jackson music was playing, but there was a black dude and a white dude dressed as Michael Jackson, and they were both pretty fucking good.
That's awesome. It's great. One guy was a white guy. That's fantastic.
Yeah, like I said, 90s era Michael Jackson.
I think I like it more that one guy was a black guy, because you don't see the black Michael Jackson cosplayers that much anymore.
But I stood and watched for a song, you know. I'm like, I gotta see this, you know.
That sounds like a bucket list kind of thing.
See two different era Michael Jacksons in a dance-off?
Yeah. Like, before I die...
Because the one guy had like the Thriller outfit, and the other guy's was kind of reminiscent of what was the song "Scream" that he did with Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
So it was.
I love that song. I'm not gonna lie, I fucking love "Scream."
Should I have that on my fucking Zune? I have a Zune.
That's the best reaction I've ever heard on this show to Pappy mentioning he has a Zune.
Wait, I couldn't figure out what was funnier, like the fact that you had a Michael Jackson song or you had one on your Zune. Like,
I got it for a birthday present 5 years ago and it still works.
There's no reason
to buy a new media player and when this still works great.
That's fantastic.
It's almost a conversation piece at this point.
You just like bring it out at parties and be like, "Hey guys, want to check out my Zune?"
I take it to work. I take that in a little speaker to work with me and listen to music. Like, no, my Zune goes with me wherever I go.
I'll give Microsoft credit for, I guess, for like the later models that actually look pretty slick with the big screens and
yeah, that's what I got. I got it, and like 6 weeks later, they announced they were going to cease production.
Ah, okay.
But they still support the software.
I still just like to imagine that's your pickup line. Like, hey, girl, you want to listen to my Zune?
Back to my car. I got some Michael Jackson on
Is
my Zune.
Is that pussy wet yet? I'll say it again. I have a Zune, baby.
I think if I ever say, "Is that pussy wet yet?" while trying to hit on a woman, it's just all downhill.
Not if you mention a Zune.
Then it was downhill before.
Zune, the pussy moistener.
Oh, God.
That's the tagline they should have gone with.
Write to Bill Gates. Let him know that.
Mr. Gates.
Commercial writes itself. Come on.
Zune makes the pussy moist.
God, I don't know why, but I'm just hating that word now.
What, moist?
No, the other one.
Oh, pussy?
Zune?
Yeah.
Zune. Oh, my Lord. Video games. Yeah. So now you realize why we warned you about our show.
Yeah. So now, are you allowed to talk about what you're planning on in the future now that this game is out, or are you just going to sit back and kind of see if you can add more to it, or what?
We've already started on the next thing. We took a couple days off to kind of relax and just kind of kick back and celebrate our accomplishment.
Speaking of celebrate, I'm really sad you never got that phone call.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't get it. Those fucking bastards.
That's some bullshit. We were like,
get him tomorrow.
We were waiting to hear some fun stuff.
Yeah, you should have those guys, Will and Dane from Cypher Prime, on the podcast. They'd be a good time. And you can also yell at them for not calling me.
Yeah, we already have a built-in conversation.
Yeah, send me their info after we're done. I'll hit them up.
Yeah, hit them up. That'd be a good conversation. What are we working on now? So we haven't officially announced anything yet or really put anything out there, but with the game that we're making, we're going to do a little bit more of like active development where we'll be like doing, I guess, more screenshots or like videos that we post regularly instead of just kind of developing in secret. But I can tell you that this game will be nothing like Clusterpuck. It's like a complete 180. It is going to be...
It's a dating sim.
It's a Gundam dating sim. Yeah.
Gundam dating sim.
Actually, I can't take credit for that. Our animator, Vincent, is like chomping at the bit to try to make that kind of joke game a Gundam dating sim.
Oh, well, Lord. Secure the license. Go for it. Fuck it.
Yeah. A Tropical Boyfriend is actually a popular game.
Yeah, it's a pigeon dating game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so this game is going to be ultra realistic. We're going for it. We're going nuts. And it's going to be kind of our love letter, kind of our take on John Carpenter's The Thing.
Ooh.
And like more of a slower paced kind of third person multiplayer game.
Huh.
That's the little bare bone kind of tease.
No, I'm already like all ears.
Pappy's moist.
Thing in the world. I'm a horror guy, and The Thing is still one of the best horror movies ever made. The original one, not the CGI crap fest remake.
Yeah, yeah. I love that movie so much. John Carpenter's a genius.
I have it on Blu-ray. As a minimum, I watch it every October.
Yeah, and the game is, you know, it was. Pretty crappy with the PS2 Xbox era game, but it had really, really, really great and interesting ideas in it. It just wasn't executed, you know,
And just all things like I listen to a podcast where they actually tell short stories. Pseudopod. It's you just download an episode. It's one horror short story, and someone did from the Thing's point of view.
Okay, what's it called?
Pseudopod is the name of the podcast.
Okay,
it was great when I did a lot of driving at my last installation. I was in Mississippi, so you had to drive to go have fun. So I'd go to Arkansas every summer, and it's a 13-hour drive, so I would just load up on those podcasts. And,
oh, wow. Okay. I want to check that out. I've been listening to, I guess, a similar podcast called Lore.
It's more what, fantasy?
No, Lore it's more in kind of the horror genre, where the creator, Aaron, like narrates stories or tells stories about certain things, like where do werewolves come from, or Holmes.
So like the lore of
Okay.
Yeah, so this one's cool. And I'm trying to it's been about a year, so I can't remember the host's name, but he's just a wonderful person. He always does an intro and an outro, and it's great. But they have three things under the umbrella. It's Pseudopod for horror, Escape Pod for sci-fi, and Podcastle for fantasy.
Okay. Pseudopod. I'll check that out.
You might just skip work for a while.
I mean,
just give me the heads up.
Sure, the business will run itself.
Oh yeah, you know, it's not like you got to be there. You know, you're an indie developer; everything takes care of itself.
Sure, yeah, I can be as hands off as I want, and things will just keep moving.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to be the boss, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, is this game you're talking about? Is that the one that you're hoping to show at MAGFest in February?
That's what we're hoping for. We're hoping to have something ready for the October submission, and by MAGFest time, something that we can put in the player's hands.
Nice.
Yeah.
How far along is it? Is it something you just recently started working on, or was it?
We're a couple months into it. Not too far. A lot of it is kind of, you know, with Clusterpuck, I'm not going to say easy, because it wasn't easy, but like, the creation of the artwork for Clusterpuck was a little bit less intensive. So a lot of the, you know, kind of getting this project up and running is figuring out our production pipelines and how we can make next gen, or, you know, quote unquote next gen, because that's a meaningless term now.
Yeah.
How we can make the best looking, most ultra real kick-ass assets that look like any game that you can get on like a PS3 or PS4 with a 6-person team, you know? So, we're shooting for, you guys see, you know, the game Until Dawn that just came out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, game looks like amazing. It's fantastic. Beyond Two Souls, an amazing, fantastic game. Looks beautiful. And we're kind of, we're shooting for a bar, you know, something around that. So,
yeah. I just came back in for Beyond Two Souls, and I'm like, okay. Still interested.
Yeah. We're shooting for something that of that quality. We want to show people what we can do, and really kind of wow them after seeing after our last game being Clusterpuck, seeing this thing kind of just be like, holy shit, these guys are pretty well versed and they can do a bunch of different things, you know?
Yeah, it's,
I think that's
like
a pretty big deal too, is to stay alive, because right now indie games are everywhere. You know, I won't say they're saturated, but I think that's a great idea from a marketing standpoint, is don't pigeonhole yourselves like, oh yeah, these guys always do similar, because sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
It's like we talked to a crowd of monsters a while back with their game Funk of Titans, but they just recently put out Blues and Bullets, or
Blues and Bullets. Yeah.
And that's such a drastic change from Funk of Titans, just
in
visuals, in theme, everything like that.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Castle Crashers. You know, I had a lot of fun with that game, but then they came out with, Mystery Box Theater?
Battle Block Theater.
And I was kind of like, yeah, this is really kind of like the same aesthetic and feel and everything to it, and it just slightly different gameplay.
Well, yeah, Behemoth has their visual style that they just kind of stick with. Same with Alien Hominid, and then Pit People looks fairly similar.
But I'll be honest, I think as a developer, at some point you'll reach a point where most people are like, eh, okay, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, you always run the risk of doing that, you know?
Yeah.
But like, Funk of Titans to Blues and Bullets is an amazing, that's a fantastic example. Like, that's a game that we're like, we knew, you know, that transition. We definitely were very, very much aware of both of those games and that studio who made it. And we're like, that's kind of what we're doing. I mean, we're super inspired by the ex-Darksiders team, Vigil.
I miss Vigil. Oh,
Darksiders is so good. Vigil's amazing. I mean, Joe Madureira is like an incredible artist. Incredible. But like those guys, like that was their first game. Darksiders was this expansive, you know, love letter to Zelda and adventure games from a first time team. And their initial prototype was made with a small team and they killed it. They knocked it out of the park and they were acquired by THQ. And just that kind of drive to make something of that quality with not a lot of resources, it's what we want to do, you know? We want to show people that we can make something that's, you know, beyond what they're expecting and what they would expect a six-person team can make, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of, I've heard unconfirmed rumors that THQ went bankrupt.
Yeah, don't look at me.
Yeah, welcome to, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's a throwback to our very first episode. That still somehow comes up every now and then.
Yeah, THQ is an interesting... I mean, I think Nordic Games owns the name THQ now, so they can actually release games underneath that moniker.
Yeah, and I know Darksiders 2 is getting a re-release in like the next month or so.
Yeah, that's right. It's only on PS4, isn't it?
Not yet. It's up for pre-order, but it's coming to PS4 and Xbox One.
It's funny because, you know, Darksiders, I'm like, I played that game, didn't I? But I can't think of a single fucking thing in it.
Oh, it's coming out October 6th.
Okay. Yeah, the first Darksiders was you played as War, and you had a pretty kick-ass, you know, well, once you unlocked him, pretty kick-ass horse, and you rode around this kind of open world, and you kept playing through dungeons, and remember you got a portal ability at one point, and you had like the death scythe at another point. Like you had all kinds of stuff. You just kept building your powers up.
Yeah, no, I played that game, and sadly enough, I just forgot all about it until just now.
Yeah, wow. Darksiders was like a straight up M-rated Legend of Zelda game, and it was amazing.
Yeah, that's why I don't remember it, because I was terrible at it.
Not surprised.
It's amazing I don't just keep to Wii games, you know, something at my level.
Yeah.
Games for 5-year-olds.
Filthy casual.
I am. I love video games, man, but I never developed the skill. Because I think to an extent there is a skill to it. I think you need to have a certain amount of response time with a lot of, especially nowadays with so many games that are like Twitch style, you know.
Yeah.
That's why Bayonetta was one of my least favorite games of that year, even though so many people loved it, because I would keep getting engrossed in the cutscenes, and then they would become a QTE, and I would fail because I'm so busy watching. I'm like, yeah, man, plot. Yeah, fucking voice acting. Oh, this is amazing. Press triangle. No, oh, fuck, I'm dead.
So there you go. In your upcoming game, do not have QuickTime events or Pappy will hate it.
Yeah.
Or not so much that I'll hate it. It's that I will just relegate myself to watching other people play.
Oh, God,
so you won't get my money. You will just get my sadness.
I think it's safe to assume as a studio we are anti-free-to-play games and we're anti-QuickTime events.
I appreciate that.
I don't know. It might be worth it to throw a few in there just to have Pappy's sadness, because that's a gift unto itself.
Or you can do what seems to be the big thing nowadays is make this amazing, beautiful game, and then when you get to the final boss, it's a disappointing QuickTime event.
or you just run out of money at the end, and it looks like really crappy.
Yeah.
Or you could pull a Halo 2 and just put "to be continued."
Yeah, we can just cut it.
Or just literally storyboard the last chapter. Okay, we run out of money. We really want to release the game, but we're just going to have to show you like static drawings of what happens from here.
Or you could pull in Asura's Wrath and make the actual ending DLC.
Ooh. God. Actually, that's kind of how they're rolling with Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah, they just had another DLC come out.
Yeah, and I'm loving the DLC, but the main story, they cliffhangered the shit out of that.
I'll finish it one day. I know I will.
I'm on my fourth playthrough of Dragon Age Inquisition.
Jesus.
Some about open world games, man. Like, I'm only playing this waiting for Fallout. Because that's the trend. You give me a BioWare game, basically, and I'm going to play it for
Except
hundreds
Fallout's
of hours.
Fallout's not BioWare.
I'm just saying that style, like Mass Effect, KOTOR back in the day.
Ooh, KOTOR, wow.
Yeah. Bethesda is the Fallout guys, but those games, the open world RPG style, those are what I dig.
So there you go. You need an open world style game with QuickTime events.
Okay, we're
gonna. Honestly, as long as you just keep saying it's inspired by The Thing, I'm gonna give you money. I don't care if it's a fucking. It's DDR inspired by The Thing. I'm still gonna give it a try.
Well, you'll give them money as long as it comes to the Xbox One.
Yeah.
If it's creepy enough, I'll pony up money for Steam.
Okay. All right. So DDR inspired by The Thing. All right.
You have to dance off against the enemy because the creature's not coordinated.
Well, or the creature's a great dancer, and you just have to figure out who you're dancing against and if you can beat him or not.
Oh yeah. No. So yeah, you make it like a multiplayer where. There's one thing and everyone else is a person and you got to guess based on, how often they flub up or how good or bad a dancer they are. You have to guess which one is the thing.
Yeah.
I think we all know that this needs to lead to Kinect support.
Yeah.
which means Noodle Fighter can be in there as a hidden bonus.
If you successfully guess that it's the thing, it moves to the Noodle Fight stage and you have to fight him off the train.
Yeah, you have to fight him.
Fight some massacred, half thing, half alien dog.
Your noodle arms.
Yeah, with noodle arms.
Like, I really want Noodle Fighter to come out now.
I'm glad that you're behind it. I'm glad you're supporting it. But
hey, I've got a Kinect waiting to be used.
Yeah, you and a lot of other people.
More than just... Actually, now, thanks to Twitch, the Kinect is used more than ever because people are just like, oh yeah, let's small box this.
Yeah.
God, the Kinect is fucking amazing. I don't realize why people are like, it's going to spy on me.
Yeah, it's really, like, if you actually get in and start developing with it, it's incredible technology. It's really incredible. But it just hasn't been used in the right way in games.
I think Noodle Fighter could change that.
I think, though, the always-on comment just freaked a lot of people out. It's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
Gamers are assholes.
I'm saying this. I have a towel draped across my Kinect.
Why?
Because I don't like it. I don't like it necessarily being on when I'm just roving around. Because I don't know if my Xbox is just retarded or what, but it'll just randomly pause and shit when I move. I'm like, no, I'm sitting up. I don't want you to pause the show. I mean, I appreciate you anticipating that I have to go to the bathroom, but so I drape a towel over it, and I don't have any issues.
It's the future.
It's the future. I see you're watching football. Do you have to pee? I will pause for you.
I see you're playing Call of Duty. Would you like us to order you some Domino's and Mountain Dew and Doritos?
Yeah.
Mountain Dew and Doritos right to your door.
Brah. What's up, brah?
Yeah, Call of Duty.
So is your game, the upcoming one, planned to hit consoles or just PC or...
We don't know yet. It's too early to tell.
That's fair.
Well, I will cross my fingers for an Xbox release.
We have the dev kits. We have released on Xbox before, so...
Just as long as it's not Apple only, we'll be okay.
we're just going to go Linux. Linux only.
Nice. Atari. Go Atari.
It would actually make dozens of people very happy.
Get the Jaguar up and running again.
Yeah, the old Apple
kit. I want to see the Neo Geo push to its limits.
People are still developing Dreamcast games. I mean, I'm sure somebody out there is doing Neo Geo cartridge or something.
I remember Neo Geo as a kid, like, Nintendo. Nintendo 64 was out yet? Not even. It was still the Sega days.
It was, yeah.
And here's this game that's like, oh man, the graphics are like 100 times better. But then you look, it's like $800 for the console, $200 for a game, and you're like,
yeah, you're basically buying an arcade board to plug into your TV.
And so I went $200 for bonk that came in the game.
So I just went home and played my Game Boy.
Good old spinach screen.
Hey, I still have a working Game Boy, too.
Yeah.
May not have much, but I keep it in good condition. So I go out on I take public transportation, play my original Game Boy, and listen to my Zune.
Nice.
And you could brag about beating Battletoads, even though it was only the Game Boy version.
It's still hard. I'm never living that one down.
It's not Battletoads, and you know it.
I'm not living that one down.
I beat Battletoads. Yeah, right.
Hey, at least I said on Game Boy. Like, I never tried to lie about that.
But you don't lead with that. You're always like, oh, I beat Battletoads. Really? Which version? Game Boy. Well, that's not Battletoads, you fucking liar.
I also beat Tiny Toon's Adventure on Game Boy. That was a hard game.
That's a great game.
Now, that's hardcore.
That's a game.
I miss some of those Game Boy games, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents wisely believed that my brother and I would never leave the TV if we had a console, so they got us Game Boys instead. And they made the right decision, because when I bought my first console at the age of 21, I never left the TV.
That's sad.
When I bought my GameCube.
Ooh, nice.
I love the GameCube. I don't give a shit what anyone says. GameCube was awesome.
So do I. Luigi's Mansion, best game. Love it.
I still have fond memories of sitting in my tiny little dorm room in Japan playing drunken Time Splitters 2 with my buddies.
Oof.
Man, I miss Time Splitters.
That's funny you mentioned that. We're talking about that game today because we have it in the office for Xbox. And it hasn't aged well. Not at all.
You are right. You're right. It's like people who talk about GoldenEye. It's like, yeah, it was a great game at its time, but
yeah.
Try picking it up now, and it's like, oh, what am I doing with my eyes?
Nostalgia kind of clouds your judgment, and you're like, yeah, that game's still great, and you pop it in, and you're like, holy
what the hell is wrong with me?
That's another good question for you. How do you feel about a lot of this nostalgia kick where people are coming out with games that look like they were made in, like, 85?
I don't know. That's a hard question. I can't say that I like them or I hate them. You know, everyone's like we did for Clusterfuck. Everyone's got a choice behind why they choose to, you know, or a reason behind why they choose to make certain things, you know, tech wise or art wise. I'm not the biggest fan of the world of pixel games. I think they're, again, like Nolan North, Troy Baker, it's a little overdone, maybe.
Yeah. It really is starting to get overdone these days.
I'm kind of with you. I'm okay with some of the pixel games that at least take advantage of the modern technology and stay gorgeous. Like, I'll say Shovel Knight. You know?
Oh, yeah, Shovel Knight's fantastic.
But some of the ones, what's Chris's favorite game, that stupid barbarian one that we bring up once in a while?
Barbarian one? Oh, yeah, the Viking?
Volgar. Yeah, Volgar to me is vulgar in terms of, like, they intentionally made it look and play like Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know. I feel like if you wanted to, you should just go fucking download Ghosts and Goblins and play it on your PC.
But, I mean, I get it.
I dig Volgar.
The game is hard. It was very hard.
Yeah, very. But I don't think that's one to vilify for how it looks and plays.
No, I'm not going to say that was just an example of I feel like, I think doing it for aesthetic's sake is just kind of a waste of time.
Yeah, you're a dumb son of a bitch, so.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
I mean, I get it, right? Those are the games that influence those developers, right? Just like, you know, the sports games or couch co-op games inspired us to make Clusterfuck. I mean, I can't really hate on it, but I can be a little bit sick and tired of pixel art. I think that's a fair way to frame it.
I will say I'm glad that people are copying 8-bit and 16-bit games instead of trying to emulate the look of, like, PlayStation 1 games. Because
see, that would just be suicide, you know?
No, I'd rather see that.
Early 3D visuals look like
you really want to see a game that looks like the first Tomb Raider? Like, do you think you would put that up and be like, oh, this is amazing?
I would rather see a really bad 3D game, like 64 or PS1 era, in another pixel game.
I think that speaks to the saturation of pixel art right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could agree with that sentiment.
Hey, who knows, though? Because like you mentioned, this is what they grew up on. So in 5 or 10 years, we might be seeing that because that's what the younger developers grew up on.
Maybe.
Bad 3D.
Ugly-ass 3D. Like, I'm not...
Invisible walls.
I'm not, like, hurting to see something look like Jumping Flash again. As great as the game was, visually, holy God.
Even look at, you know, how many people hold up Final Fantasy VII, you know, as one of the best games ever made. But you go back and look at the visuals.
It looks like shit.
It does. The Machinima guys teamed up with Team Four Star, and they're doing an episodic comedy story in Final Fantasy VII. And I'm enjoying the story, but I'm watching it on YouTube, and I'm like, this is the ugliest shit I've ever seen.
Jeez. Well, anyway, we're going on like an hour 40 now, and we still haven't even gotten to our emails yet. Do you want to stick around and hear us read some emails from our listeners?
Yeah, sure.
All right, because I figure we have to get to these sooner or later, or else we'll just keep – Pappy will keep going off on tangents, and we'll never –
Yeah, without Chris, someone has to do it.
Yeah. This is the Pappy doesn't know how to shut up episode.
It's because I'm hopped up on fucking Dayquil.
Dayquil fucks you up? Jesus.
I don't take drugs unless I have to.
Oh, you're a lightweight.
Yes.
Anyway, first email from Zach Lyons, our longtime listener and friend of show. He asks, what's the deal with Street Pass puzzles? It's like they suddenly stopped releasing new ones earlier this year. I fully expected to see one for at least Splatoon and Super Mario Maker, but there's nothing. Living in New Zealand and not having many conventions to go to, I get like 2 to 4 new pieces every week or two, if I'm lucky. And I've nearly completed all that are currently available. Thoughts? Oh, man, we need Chris here for this one.
Yeah, they're saving them all for MAGFest 2016. They're going to release it the day after the event like they did last year.
Probably. I don't know what's going on with the Street Pass shit. It just seemed to like stop out of nowhere. But, man.
They might have thought that maybe they were saturating and wanted to take a break.
Maybe.
Or like everything Nintendo seems to do lately, they pick up on something cool and then stop supporting it.
Hey, they're still churning out amiibos, so.
Because that is the new DS. It is just printing them money.
It is. Yeah. Oh, my God. Says the guy who has, like, 30 of them.
The only one I want is that homemade one of Danky Kang.
Danky Kang.
Or Sanic. The Sanic one looked pretty good, too.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I was so happy when I saw someone made a Danky Kang custom with the fucking rings in his hand and everything. Yeah. Like fucked up eyes, one pointing one way or the other, a blue Donkey Kong. It was amazing. All right. Next email is from Sean Lynch, good old Splink, writing us. He says, good evening, SML Podcast. First of all, it's good to have you guys back after the hiatus, which ended like 4 months ago, so you're a bit late. And it's phenomenal that this resurrection has happened alongside the Rock Band franchise, my all-time favorite franchise, as Joe can tell you. Given the common interests of the series, I wanted to start off by asking, what is your favorite track from the series? Or if you're familiar with the set list of the upcoming Rock Band 4, what track are you most excited for?
I really loved when they finally got a Fuel song in there. Oh, wait.
I'm going to stick to fucking Parry Grips. Nom 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 is still one of my favorites in the game. It's just stupidly fun to play. Nick, are you a Rock Band guy?
I had it. I can't tell you any of the songs that were in the original Rock Band. I do not remember for the life of me.
You don't have any favorites that you've ever played in there?
And the only thing I can remember was maybe from a Guitar Hero game. Sorry, not Rock Band. But... one of my favorite bands, they actually put one of their songs in there. It was One Arm Scissor by At the Drive-In.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I'll say the most fun I ever had doing a song was every time we did Hard Rock Hallelujah.
I was just going to continue on. Splink says, I have far too many fun memories of Hard Rock Hallelujah by Lordy. As Joe can hopefully attest to, and Pappy, and I will have to admit that I nearly jumped out of my seat with excitement at work when I say that Tongue Tied by Group Love would be in Rock Band 4. It was one of those moments where I would have never guessed that the song would ever be released, let alone included on the physical disc or download packet for those who do digital. Needless to say, I cannot be more excited for the game coming out in a few weeks. Neither can we.
Yeah, I can't wait till Joe keeps making fun of me because I only have 200 songs and he's got 4,000.
Stupid asshole with your only 200 songs. He says, but enough about Rock Band. I suppose I should talk about the game that I promised I would talk about, even after two consecutive weeks of me not writing in about it. Nightmares from the Deep, The Cursed Heart. Though I'm definitely arriving late to the party on this one, I really have to say that I found the game to be quite enjoyable for a casual gaming experience. I wasn't expecting much going in, but it actually had some fun puzzles and an interesting way of including the Mahjong options, although, like Joe, I'm sad to admit I did not fully commit to either the hidden object puzzles or Mahjong, missing both of the achievements that went with each. If I had any criticisms of the game, it would be that I have... It would have to be that I couldn't help but think how incredibly tame the game was with nightmares in the title. I mean, obviously it can't be truly terrifying or else it would lose out on the casual and family gaming audiences, but fuck those audiences. I wasn't expecting a ghost pirate survival horror game akin to some hideous mashup of Amnesia, The Dark Descent, and Monkey Island franchise. And all honestly, I would fucking love if that was a real thing. But I didn't expect the actual Nightmares from the Deep to be as tame as a dream house where Ken doesn't domestically abuse Barbie. Oh,
Jesus.
That is a great comparison. Overall, though, Nightmares from the Deep was a very enjoyable game, and it's Mahjong slash point-and-click escape that I could recommend to any casual gamer looking for a break from Candy Crush and Farmville, if those are still both things. And good news for our listeners, we still have two codes for Nightmares from the Deep, The Cursed Heart, for the Xbox One. So feel free to write us, and you can still get the game for free. And that is the end of my rant, review, thoughts, ramblings about Nightmares from the Deep. I was also asked to give feedback about a few other games, but I haven't gotten around to putting too much time into those yet, so I won't be as in-depth, if you can call it that, as I was about Nightmares. Super Toy Cars is a really fun racer that reminds me of the old arcade racers that I used to love so much. I can definitely agree about the AI becoming assholes as you progress further into the game. Overall, though, from the hour and a half I put into it, it's been a fun journey. It reminded me a lot of the toy car pack from Burnout Paradise, which then made me sad that we will never see another game like that. Although Forza Horizon 2 is pretty close. Forza 6 did just come out, so that will certainly hold me over in the meantime. And Draw Stickman Epic was unique, but incredibly fun game to play, though I'm only a few levels in. Just like Joe said in the interview, I too immediately made the game phallic, leading to an awkward moment where my girlfriend came home to see a giant dick walking around on the TV. So there's my lengthy email that has been delayed a few weeks and then dragged out even more. And here's to many more emails, none of which should be as lengthy or take as long to submit as this one did. Best regards, Sean. P.S. As requested during the previous episode, my favorite slow jam is Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. Don't judge. You know you fucking love this song.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Any comments on that whole spiel from Splink?
No. Just always fun to hear from other people's perspectives.
Indeed.
Especially all the games. Yeah, I just wanted to get my hands on Draw a Stick, man. I hear it's pretty fun.
I think we still have a code for that. Or no, I think Splink got the last one.
It's on sale. I can pick it up. I can afford $10.
Yeah, we do still have plenty of codes to give away for our listeners, though. We still have Quest of Dungeons, Leo's Fortune. Starting next week, I'll have an interview with the folks from Extreme Exorcism, and we'll have that to give away.
Wait, what?
Extreme Exorcism.
See, Joe, you never tell me anything.
Great game. It's really fun.
Well, we're doing that interview Monday during the day, so you won't be here.
Plus, the word exorcism is in the fucking title. You'd think you would
tell
me about it.
It's not a horror game.
It doesn't matter. It still might be something fun.
Oh my god, you're such a whiner. Plus, we still have a shitload of Pixel Noir soundtrack codes to give away, thanks to Kunal, because he thinks that we'll actually burn through 20 codes, but, you know.
Yeah, the better Pappy. That's who Kunal is.
Let's see. We have one more email from Sean Smith, our MagFest friend, who originally sent it to the wrong email address. So I must restate that, folks, our email address is thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Just SML Podcast goes to some guy named Jurgen who has like a music podcast from 2013, and he's probably really fucking confused at your emails. So the SML Podcast at gmail.com. Shean says, hey, Joe Cam, Chris, and Pappy. This is Shean, a.k.a. Surly Nod. Don't worry about butchering my name, but please expect me to curse you out for it at my earliest convenience. I've been... I've been wanting to send an email for a while now, and I suppose no time like the present. So you know that at least two people listen to your podcast, which I love, by the by. Glad you're getting it back on track, which we did 4 months ago. Anyway, this email has purpose, and I would like to talk about Nova 111. I was the second person to snag the code, so there you go, Zach. You know, one of the people. Surprisingly, since I didn't listen to the podcast until Sunday, what an awesome gem of a game it is. I love puzzle games, and I love that this game has timing and precision to it. The most basic enemy can be dispatched quite easily if you're quick with the fingers. That being said, I am playing this on my laptop, and the arrow keys and control button are perilously close to each other. In the game, you can skip a turn using control. Each movement is one turn. This is useful for getting those enemies close to you. Unfortunately for me, when I go to dodge, my finger will slip and hit control, causing me to take damage and curse loudly. I haven't played for that long, maybe an hour or so, but I'm definitely impressed. The names of the scientists are really funny as well. In looking at the achievements, I already said fuck that because I'm not sure how I'm going to complete this game without taking damage of any sort, which we talked with Eddie about and cursed at him. Perhaps yes. With a few playthroughs notched under my belt. Anyway, I don't want the email to be Zach Long, but I wanted to tell you that I think you guys are awesome. Thank you for the opportunity to play a game that wasn't even on my radar. I am enjoying it thoroughly. I can't wait to listen to the next podcast. Well, I have no choice in that. It will have to wait until Sunday. Your cool ass friend, Xian. XOXO.
All right, so I guess any news there, Joe, or we're going to go right to what you're playing?
Oh, God, I don't fucking know. What news came out?
Nothing. Okay, so
Need for Speed and Rainbow Six are going to have free DLC.
Oh, Persona just got pushed.
Yeah, to 2016. What else happened? I don't know. A bunch of games are coming out, and Forza came out, and...
So, Nick, we usually close by just talking about what we played in the last week. So, you got it. What are you playing, Nick?
Nothing. I'm.
Hulu.
You should check
I'm
out this game
Hulu.
Called Clusterpuck.
Yeah, that's right. I'm playing this game called Clusterpuck.
We still have codes for that to give away too. So make sure to send us an email at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com, and you could win a code for Clusterpuck 99. I hear the developers are cool guys.
People are going to start saying to the SML and forgetting the word podcast. Yeah.
The SML clusterpuck at gmail.com.
Perfect. I'm going to gear up to get into Metal Gear next week. That's going to be that's next on my list. I'm doing it.
And that's going to be all your time.
Well, the Pope is coming to Philly, so we're hightailing it out of the city and to the safe suburbs. And
that's a good call.
We're just going to kind of hang out, and I'm going to play some video games and. Have a good time, not being near the Pope.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. Catholics are crazy.
So true. Pappy, what are you playing?
I downloaded Dropsy yesterday.
What the fuck is Dropsy?
Well, I actually commented a little bit about the graphics. Dropsy is basically the graphic equivalent of the very first King's Quest game.
Oh, wow.
It's a point-and-click adventure, but you are a clown. There are no words anywhere. Everybody speaks with in the dialogue box. It's just a picture. I haven't played enough to get much of a plot other than I like to make people happy. So you've got your little pop-up menu. Again, no words even in the menu. I actually accidentally restarted the game once and then reloaded a save instead of saving it while I was trying to figure out what all the menu buttons were. But in the drop-down, you've got like your map, you've got your inventory, and then you've got a hug button. Your goal is to make someone happy so that you can hug them. It's a very cute, very fun. It's actually a lot of fun. Again, it's a point and click, but the music is actually pretty awesome. Like, it's fun to just walk around and listen to the music. But yeah, I'm a clown and I've got my dog, and you can switch to the dog to dig stuff up. And it is an adult style point and click. Like, there's a kid who's sad that their flower's dying, and there's a guy who's upset because he's got no money. But then you walk by, and there's a woman sitting on a stoop, and she's just – and her little thought bubble pops up, and it's just a joint. So somewhere in the game, I got to find this lady some pot so I can get a hug.
That's weird as hell.
It's a lot of people were talking about it. I checked it out on Steam, liked the write-up, and went, fuck it, let's do this. And I also picked up Rocket League so that I can play that with Chris when I come visit.
Nice.
So I got to get a controller working on my laptop.
Cool. Is that it? Did you have more
to
say?
Yeah, no, I was at MAGFest. I didn't play any video games.
Okay, because you just stopped talking instead of being like, that's all I played. What about you, Joe?
Thinking for a second about, Chris was playing Diablo and Rocket League at the table since he was pulling a bunch of shit. He was doing noon to 6 and then coming back at midnight and staying until 2 or 3. So he did a whole lot of Diabloing while he was sitting at the table.
Nice. That's always good.
Yeah, but no, I didn't play, obviously I came back sick, so I spent Monday and Tuesday watching anime and being sad.
Cool.
Yeah.
Since you're not going to segue to me, I'll fucking talk to
you. Joe, what are you playing?
Thank you for asking. That's so kind of you to ask me a fucking question. I've been playing way too many different games. It's been awesome getting all these different indie devs involved with our show. I've spent time playing Ascendant on the PS4. It is a roguelike.
But you're actually using your PS4 for more than just a microwave?
Believe it or not, I'm actually playing stuff on it, which is weird as hell. I'm just hoping my house doesn't burn down. I've been playing Ascendant. It is roguelike, side-scrolling action hack and slash. Very similar to Rogue Legacy. Pretty difficult. It's not an easy game to play, but it's a lot of fun. I wasn't too sure what I'd be getting into with it. Visually, it wasn't the greatest off the bat, but the art style has grown on me. Having a lot of fun with it. We do have codes for that to give away. So the people complaining about not having any PS4 codes, we have codes for that. We also have PS4 codes for Hyper Void, which just came out this week. It has a very Tempest feel to it, where you kind of circle around an area shooting enemies coming from the middle at you, but it also has flat stages as well, 3 different weapons. It does not really encourage holding a fire button down to just shoot constantly, because you have a power gauge for your weapons where the longer you hold a button down, the slower it shoots. So it encourages burst fire and actually planning out your shots instead of just shooting like crazy.
That's pretty interesting.
Lot of fun, and we have 3 codes for that to give away. So if anybody's interested, all you got to do is email us at the SML Podcast, the smlpodcast@gmail.com, and talk to us. Tell us something, like, be a part of the show, be interactive with us, and you get free games. We do have a third PS4 game to give away, Zombie Vikings, which comes from the Stick It to the Man team. I did not get to try that one yet. I hope to play that in the next week, but we do have codes for that to give out. There's 2 games music related that I played, Inside My Radio, which comes out, should be out now by the time you're listening to this, as well as an older game called Beat Buddy. I'm hoping next week will be a more rhythm genre episode since Rock Band's coming out soon. So I'll talk about them more next week, but we do have Steam codes for Beat Buddy. See, we are showering you fuckers with free games. All you got to do is get in touch with us. That's it. It's that easy. Just so many. I'm still playing Quest of Dungeons because I can't stop playing that.
That's a roguelike too, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like the dungeons in the old Zelda games. But you have to think more. It's kind of like Nova 111 where the game only moves when you move.
Okay, but you can't just, like, murder your way through it. You actually have to stop and think.
It depends on what character you have and how well leveled you are.
That's what you were saying. That's what the Necrodancer, whatever, is like.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to stop and think with that character.
Yeah, if you want to hear more about Quest the Dungeons, listen to last week's episode where I talked with the developer for 40 minutes. We still have a code for that. Free game. And then another game I didn't get to play yet, but I want to give a shout out, is I talked to a guy named Mazega Alessandro, and I hope I'm not butchering that name, while browsing around for different games, seeing what's new, what's been coming out. I found that his company, Forge Reply, based out of Italy, released a game on Steam called Joe Deaver's Lone Wolf, the game. If anyone is around my age, you might have remembered like the Choose Your Own Adventure books. And
I remember those.
And the Lone Wolf series was something I read religiously up through like book number 20 something until they stopped basically releasing them in my local Walden books. I'm not sure how much that dates me mentioning Walden books, but they made a Steam game based on Lone Wolf with heavy input from Joe Deaver. I messaged them, just talking to them, seeing if there's any plans for some kind of console release. They said that they can't announce anything, but to keep my fingers crossed because it might happen. We just chat a little bit, and he ended up giving me a Steam code for the game. They don't really do any giveaways, so I don't have any for you people, but I still urge you,
you
horrible people.
I don't have anything for you plebeians.
You horrible plebs, you commoners. No, you guys are PC Master Race. Go on Steam and buy the fucking game for yourself. But I wanted to give them a shout out just because they were so awesome to hook me up with a code, even though I'm not much of a PC gamer. But I'm going to give this game a try in the next week or so.
I think I know what I'll be doing while I watch football on Sunday.
Masturbating?
And playing Lone Wolf.
Nice. I have been balls deep in Forza 6.
Just all the balls.
All the balls. If you listened to last week's episode, you know how much I was harassing Kunal to buy my Xbox One because we got the Forza console. So I think he's coming up this weekend to buy my Xbox One.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's great.
But the Forza console, it's so pretty. And it makes car sounds when you turn it on.
So you playing anything else, Joe?
How many games did 15, I mention? So
just those 15 games, that's it?
I'm sure there's more. There's more that I can't talk about yet, but we'll be talking about those next week. Possibly interviews and all that fun jazz.
Right.
And I've been playing Clusterpuck.
I'm
going to go try and play Clusterpuck.
That game's terrible. Don't buy it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Developer's a dick, too.
Angry games for angry people.
Oh, right. Man. So,
and that's our show.
That's basically the show. I figure since you're on, I might as well ask you now on the spot. We end our show with music each week. I'm not sure if there's any kind of video game cover band or game remixer that you like to listen to, or if you have any of the music from Clusterpuck for us to play on the show.
I can give you a track from Clusterpuck. That's a thing I could do.
Cool beans. Anything else? We usually play at least like 3 songs. So if you have any requests, let us know. If not, we'll just fucking play whatever.
I gotta say, the only 2 game soundtracks that I listen to, or that I actually own and listen to, are the soundtrack from Deus Ex Human Revolution and Ellie Noir. And that's it.
I'll have to see if I could track those down to play stuff from it. Because I don't think I own either of those.
Yeah. I spent my whole weekend listening to 4 artists on repeat. We hooked up speakers and played the music they were selling. So what was it? Chipocrit, Triforce Quartet, Super Guitar Brothers, Joe Landino.
There we go. We'll play something from Mad Classic. Pappy, you could send me a couple songs from, I don't know, whatever you picked up. And then we'll play some music from Clusterpuck as well.
All right. Since you're still here, you got any last words to end the show?
Let's see. I guess I can try to sell the people on Clusterpuck. Yeah. So Clusterpuck 99 is out for Xbox One. You can find it under the Deals with Gold, like little banner, I guess, on your Xbox homepage. It's on sale right now for $10. And you can follow us on Twitter. We're at PHL Collective. We're on Facebook too, PHL Collective. Clusterpuck99.com, PHLCollective.com, you know, all that stuff. All those really important social media things that really matter in life.
Do you have a Tinder account you want to pimp out?
Yeah, we're going to do group dating. The entire studio is going to go out and try to find someone.
That sounds good.
That actually sounds like fun. I'm not going to lie. That sounds ridiculous.
Our girlfriends might not be happy, but we're going to do it anyway.
I don't know, in 2 weeks when Pappy's in, maybe we'll head down to Philly and get a group date with you guys.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
All right, and yeah, so go by Cluster.
Oh, wait,
Puck
I know what
99.
This episode needs. Since you never got the call, we never got to hear it. I want to know what this chant is.
Oh, yeah, okay. So the Philly game scene is it's pretty small, right? I mean, there's really maybe only, I don't know, it's like five and seven teams of like actual developers. There's a lot of people who kind of do it, but not full time. And this year was kind of a banner year for us. There was there's going to be four console games released out of Philly this year, which is kind of nuts for a very small community.
Wow.
So Cypher Prime had Splice on PS3 and PS4. Final Form had Jamestown Plus on PS4. We had Clusterpuck on Xbox One. I believe Grimm Brothers is releasing Dragonfin Soup on PlayStation consoles this year.
You got to tell these other guys to get their shit on Xbox. We are a very Xbox-centric show because my issues with the PS4 have been long documented on this show.
Well, I'll get them to come on here, and you guys can just
Sell them.
Hammer them and sell them until they
release your game on a fucking Xbox, a piece of shit. Oof.
That'll do it.
Nice.
Yeah. So like basically every time someone releases a product, and we've done it a couple times this year, releases a product, there's just like a Philly Game Forge kind of chant that the guys do, and they toast everyone who releases a game, and it's just like a little community thing that everyone does. So I was hoping to get the guys who were down at the Forge tonight on the phone, but they're dicks and they didn't call me. So I'm just going to I'm going to leave it at that.
So you're not going to tell us the chant, are you?
We'll just have to have them back on when they release another game.
Yeah, I can't tell you the chant.
Oh, God damn it.
Thanks for being on, man.
No payoff to this episode.
We definitely ran a little long. I'm going to go make some mac and cheese to celebrate. And I'm gonna season it with Joe's disappointment.
But it's not as delicious as your disappointment, Pappy.
But yeah, so that's it for this episode. I will be in transit next Thursday. So next time you hear from me, I will be giving Joe the plague in person.
Nice. That'll be hilarious if Chris can't do anything next week either, and it's just me talking.
I'll try and do it. I'll do it from like a Bluetooth in my car when I'm driving from Philly to Northeast PA. I just randomly forgot the name of the town my parents live in. You know, no big deal.
Where did I grow up again?
Well, that's not where they live.
bitch.
Yeah, but yeah, thanks again for being on. Now we're at the point where we just ramble, so it's a good time to stop.
Awesome.
We need a one-liner to end the show.
You haven't sworn much. Yeah, say something with a swear word in it, we'll end the show.
Oh, God. What? Yeah, thanks for fucking listening.
All right.
No, that's lame. That's lame. That's fucking lame. Don't be a dickball. Go out and buy Clusterpuck. You sons of bitches.
That'll do.